We've had a lot of stand your ground news stories in Florida over the last couple of years. These things tend to drag out as well over time. It's very difficult to understand when stand your ground actually comes into place. Our next guest is Major General Bruce Lawler, who has written a book called When Deadly Force is Involved, a look at this legal side of stand your ground, duty to retreat, and other questions of self-defense. General Lawler, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
I think it's great that you wrote this book because I'm a gun owner. I have a concealed weapons license. I have a lot of guns, and it is my absolute last resort to ever use it in a situation. I hope it never comes down to it, but mostly because I don't really understand when you're going to be able to justify using your weapon. Each case has to be interpreted and is looked at so intensely that I have to really wonder whether or not this is a case and whether I'm going to walk away on the stand your ground law.
Well, I think that's right. I think that each case really stands or falls on its own merits, and oftentimes small facts, what appear to be small facts in the case, turn out to have very big meaning when it comes to how the law interprets what happened.
How did you feel about the Trayvon Martin situation?
I think that was probably one of those cases where the call was a tough one, a close one. Fistfights are probably the most difficult area of self-defense law because most fistfights end up with nothing more than someone getting a bloody nose, some ego hurt, and yeah, that's the end of it. But there are situations occasionally where one of the combatants goes too far, has already sort of dominated the other combatant, and then carries it further to the point where now the person represents a real deadly threat or a threat of very serious injuries. And that those facts or that kind of a situation can go either way with juries. Some juries will look at the fist fight and say, well, I don't think it reached the point of no return where someone was actually in danger. Other people will look at the same facts and say, well, I think it was. And I think that's really what happened in the Trayvon Martin case, is it was one of those difficult cases, and it wasn't helped much by some of the reporting that surrounded the case.
Yeah, and I think I know my opinion certainly changed from before the verdict to now that we see what a lunatic he turns out to be, George Zimmerman. I wonder now if we even had all the facts right in that situation. Unfortunately, the only two people that know, one of them is already dead, so it's hard to tell. What about these all has seemed to happen here in the state of Florida.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the movie theater case where the retired officer shot a guy who threw popcorn at him? That had no chance of being stand your ground, right?
That's a very difficult one to see based on the facts as we know them from reporting. That's a difficult one to see how a person could justify taking somebody's life under those circumstances, because that's really what we're talking about. It's not so much about stand your ground. It's about the end result, which is someone lay dead.
Yeah.
So can you say to yourself that it was really necessary to take a life in that circumstance for that officer or that gentleman to avoid being injured or serious or killed? And that's one where it's pretty hard to justify it. I don't even know if that case has been decided yet.
It has. It is not. It did not fall under stand your ground at all. And although really, the more we know about that, the more both parties just seem to be totally at fault. But the one guy took it a little too far. We're talking to Major General Bruce Lawler. The book is When Deadly Force is Involved. I have the book. I'm going through it now. I really want to dig deep into this because what's the best way? I know when you get your concealed weapons permit, you take the class, they teach you, but you really have to know the law inside and out before you make that decision to use your weapon. I don't even know. I feel like with the castle doctrine, if somebody breaks into my house, I'm allowed to defend my family and I'm allowed to shoot and kill whoever the intruder is. But then you hear all these stories about the guy not dying and then suing the people who he broke into their house. That's ridiculous.
Well, I think the castle doctrine, from my experience, is probably the most misunderstood of all the self-defense concepts, because people do tend to think that if someone comes into their house, they have an automatic right to shoot them, and that's just not true. What the Castle Doctrine does is basically say, and all it says is that if you are inside your house and there is someone who comes into your house, that you don't have to retreat, that you don't have to try to go somewhere or avoid confronting the individual. You can stand where you are and protect your home and protect your family. That doesn't mean that all the other requirements for self-defense to exist aren't already in play. So the question becomes, is there a deadly danger? Why did you take the action you did? Was there any hostility involved? Were you involved in any kind of provocation that caused an argument? Was the danger immediate? Was it going to happen right away?
Don't you think that's kind of ridiculous? That I'd have to justify, was there an argument? Or was there, I mean, there's a guy in my house that doesn't belong there.
Right,
I should have full rights to do whatever I have to do to make sure my children are safe.
He didn't have keys to get in.
Yeah.
Well, that's true, but let me tell you, within the past 48 hours, I've been on two different other shows. In both situations, we've discussed this very same issue. And at the end of the conversation, both folks who I was talking to said, well, they had had a personal situation where a man had come into their house. They didn't know who he was. And in one case, he was confused. And in the other case, he apparently just had the wrong address. I mean, those things happen,
yeah.
and it happens more frequently than you know. And now, the issue that I think one of the things that you're presuming is that the person's presence in your house automatically threatens you with death or serious bodily injury, and that's not always the case.
Well, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but because there are people who drink and wander into the wrong apartment. I get that. I lived in an apartment building on the fourth floor. I got off at the second floor one time, walked into their apartment. accidents happen. But I have children.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's the issue. So what I'm trying to say, it is not an instant reaction. You can't see stranger, pull trigger. There's more to it than that.
Shoot a poor silver alert guy who wandered into the wrong home. I get it now. This is Major General Bruce Lawler joining us. The book is When Deadly Force is Involved. It's very interesting, and it's really anybody who is in this state. We are so gun happy in Florida. It's a very good read for anybody who really wants to dig deep into what these laws are. If I can ask you, a lot of the gun problems that we have here in Florida, the gun fights happen out of traffic altercations. Where do you have the right to defend yourself in the car? Because if somebody pulls a gun in the car, are you automatically assumed that you're supposed to drive away at that point?
Well, again, these are all factually dependent questions.
Right, right.
If you have no escape, then the answer is obviously you get to defend yourself immediately. But I think there's an incident in the book where we discuss a case where a person is parked in a car in a pull-off area, and person drives in and questionable behavior, and turns out to be the individual was probably intent on taking the young man's wife. But the circumstances, always there will be a judgment afterwards by someone who wasn't there, who will say, what was the best option under those circumstances?
Yeah.
The real question you got to ask yourself every single time is, was it really necessary to take a life in order to stay safe? And so if you're in your car and someone pulls a gun and there's nobody in front of you and there's an easy way for you to drive away, the best solution is to floor it and get out of there. Because trying to hit somebody from a moving car or in a moving car from inside another car is really very, very difficult.
The movies make it seem so easy. The movies make it seem like you could do it as you're moving.
Exactly. The hip shots in the movies don't really happen in real life. So, again, the question is always, what's the best what's the most reasonable thing to do under those circumstances? And the facts really depend, really determine that. So if you're blocked, you're in nowhere you can go. That's a completely different situation than if you have an easy access, and what the option is to push your accelerator to the floor.
Yeah, I really think it's important for all gun owners. You get that gun, you get that concealed weapons permit, and there's a couple of minutes where you're feeling like a teenager and you're like, you think it's the Wild West, but you need to let it sink into your head, the consequences that come with not only living with the guilt of taking somebody else's life, but the complications that come with what you think is black and white, and having to put your hands in your future in the hands of the jury, and they're not always going to see things the way that you saw them. The book is called When Deadly Force is Involved. Major General Bruce Lawler wrote it. You can find it online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere that they sell books. General, what are you carrying with you every day? What's your daily carry gun?
Oh, when I do have a pistol, I have a Kimber that I carry.
Oh, I see. He's hitting it. Nice, yeah. Dead on accurate. the book is great. I'm definitely going to finish it and get through the whole thing, because I feel like as much knowledge as I have none. So I appreciate you coming on the show and talking about it, and good luck with it.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Did he yawn at the end?
I think so.
Thank you very much.